So today I'm going to tell you something I bet you didn't know. At least I didn't know it. Is the port of Corpus Christi is gigantic. I mean, they move almost 2.5 million barrels of oil a day. They account for 60% of all the U.S. crude oil exports. All the U.S. crude exports. They're the third largest gateway for crude behind Russia and Saudi Arabia, and they're about to get bigger. Kent Brenton is the CEO of the Port of Corpus Christi and joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks, David. Great to be here.
Those are breathtaking numbers. I had no
idea. I know. You stole half of my speech right here.
Well, but that's I can't believe everything's concentrated like that in one place. Has this been sort of a slow evolution, or how did you get to this point in time?
No, this has been a fast speedboat through this channel for the last 7 years. This port really for 35 years moved about the same amount of cargo every year. So between 75 and 85 million tons of cargo, three main refinery complexes, six total refineries. And that was pretty much the business. There were a few other things going on the side. And then the vast discovery of oil in the Permian Basin, and to a little bit lesser extent, the Eagle Ford Basin. Really, the Eagle Ford, once it got ramped up, got overtook pretty quickly by the Permian. All of a sudden, there is a lot of Texas energy that needs to go somewhere. And as they say in real estate, right, it's all about location. We happen to be the closest deep water port to the Permian Basin. And we were making a commitment at the time to spend a lot of money to deepen and widen our ship channel to accommodate these movements. And the pipelines got built to Corpus Christi.
So they went where the transport was. And so for the last 7 years, you've been working, what is it, a $682 million improvement. So what do you now do that you didn't used to be able to do as of June the 2nd?
Yeah, sure. So the project, and let me just give you a little background on the project. The project actually got authorized by Congress back in 2007. And it's actually been in development since, almost 40 years ago, since the 80s. But we didn't get first dollars to build this project until 2018. The commitment, though, that we made at the time, and we took out about $300 million in bonds, we made a commitment basically that we would do this project on our own, even if the federal government didn't step up. Now, luckily, they have stepped up in a big way, and they've put in about $420 million to this project. We put in about $200 million to this project. It's going to be about a $620 million project when it's done. But we built this new ship channel, what we call a ship channel improvement project, and it's been done in four phases. And so as each phase has gotten done, the customers who occupied those sections of the channel have actually been able to take advantage of this.
So you have this ribbon cutting June 2nd as sort of – but that's the last milestone that you.
That is right. That's the final piece. We've actually had customers who've been able to take advantage of the deeper channel for about 2 years now.
Yeah. So you're the CEO of what's got to be a multi-billion-dollar business. I mean, those numbers are really astounding. So what are the dynamics? You've talked about some of it. You were impacted positively by the discovery of all that shale oil and all the reinvigoration of the Permian Basin and the fact that somebody ran pipelines and they ran them to Corpus Christi. So is that the major dynamic? I mean, do you do as well with $70 oil or $100 oil as you do with $50 oil?
So we do. And so it's interesting. We're actually a political subdivision of the state. So we work a little bit like a business, but also a little bit like a utility. And so we take a small fee off of every barrel of oil that gets moved through here. So for each barrel, we basically get 12 cents. So if a barrel's 70 cents, we get 12 cents. If a barrel's $70, we get 12 cents. If a barrel's $50, we still get 12 cents.
So you're not affected by that. I mean, it's just if they decide to hold on to the oil or there's not a demand for it.
We're affected by volume. So obviously if volume's dropped because demand dropped or because the prices got low enough that the producers did not want to drill new wells in the Permian, right? Because shale oil production requires new wells coming online in some regular cadence to replace ones that eventually slow down or run out of oil. But we went from exporting basically zero in 2015 to, as you said earlier, exporting 2.5 million barrels of oil per day.
That's just breathtaking.
And so when you talk about us, we generate let's call it $200 million in revenues. We've got assets of about $1.5 billion. But our customers, what's really going on here, there is $340 million a day of goods value being transported through this waterway.
You are absolutely critical. I mean, geopolitics must be some sort of a concern. I don't mean to disrupt your sleep at night, but if I were some hostile country or, you know, somebody hostile to the United States, one of the first places I'd take out would be Corpus Christi.
I've heard through the grapevine that we're only number 5 on that target list, but I try not to lose sleep. I've got 2 kids, a 22-year-old and a 20-year-old. I try to remind them of this every day. Worry about the things you can control, right? Yeah. And that's not one of those things I can control, but geopolitics has been a big part of the story here for the last several years, ever since Russia invaded Ukraine, because one of the largest oil buying and natural gas buying constituencies in the world, Europe, decided they were going to get off, you know, what was really their sole source of energy and move to something else. And it's been very fortunate, actually, that U.S. producers were able to fill that gap. It solved a very serious geopolitical issue.
So I guess an outbreak of peace would be negative. I bet we want to consider that.
just as a citizen, I'm always hoping for peace. I don't think it would have much of an impact now, because I think the European folks who wanted to convert are already down that path now. Yeah. I don't see them, even for cheaper Russian oil, I don't see them going back to that source of supply.
Well, if you're a steady supplier, then they're not going to do it. What about the Green Energy Initiative? Because all that was playing out as you were rounding up the money and beginning construction and then going through the construction of this gigantic basin that whose primary target was moving hydrocarbons.
That's right. So just as a general statement, we don't see the need or the demand for fossil fuel energy going away anytime soon. If ever, it may actually end up getting curtailed by a lack of supply, not by a lack of demand. The demand for energy across the world is growing exponentially, and it's growing particularly fast, even here in Texas, right? Because of data centers and AI and things that we didn't think about previously. And so we not only need the hydrocarbons that we currently move, we need every source of energy we can get our hands on. We're one of the largest importers of windmill components. We recently received a permit from the Army Corps of Engineers to do a solar field out in San Patricio County, one of the 2 counties we operate in, that we're trying to figure out what we do with. And we had applied with the federal government to be a what was known as a hydrogen hub, which would have been kind of a pass-through to 8, 9, 10 customers to kind of seed that hydrogen and ammonia business,
right?
That might be the next phase of energy development in Texas.
What about liquefied natural gas? Does any of that flow through you?
Absolutely. So we are the second largest exporter in the country of liquefied natural gas.
And that's growing.
And that is listen, that has the potential, because right now there is a lot of gas that does not even get put into play that could. The conversion of folks who are using coal around the world to liquefied natural gas actually could be your next big step in clean energy. People thought they were just going to jump over that and go to hydrogen, ammonia, something else. In reality, the emissions from liquefied natural gas are significantly lower than coal. And so if you could convert the part of the world that's using coal onto liquefied natural gas, that would be huge. But we move slightly less than the Sabine Neches waterway, which has a Cheniere energy plant. We also have a Cheniere energy plant. It's being expanded right now. It'll be roughly double the capacity it was last year by the end of 2027, and we'll be pretty close to the number one exporter at that point.
So now, you've been in this building mode forever, probably since you stepped foot in that place.
Been here almost 8 years, and we have been in go mode.
So what about, I mean, are you going to rest on your laurels now, or is there more that needs to be done?
Oh, come on now, David. there's always more that needs to be done. You know, we can, first and foremost, we're the non-federal sponsor of this waterway, and so we've already initiated the feasibility studies to look at 2 additional channel projects. We're looking now at an additional turning basin just outside of the Inner Harbor in Corpus Christi that would allow us to bring in even bigger ships than we already bring in. to the inner harbor. And we're just going to keep looking at how we continue to demand. And then we're beating the street for every other type of business we can get our hands on.
You know, and it's really kind of a chicken and egg, too, because if you have that capability, then they can build them bigger.
Absolutely. So the 54 feet of water that this new channel expansion is bringing us has brought significant additional commercial inquiries that we never dreamed we would be even taking a look at. Think things like containers, for example.
Yeah.
That we never thought we would compete on that scale, and we never will compete with like a Houston who moves 3 million, you know, TEUs a year. But there may be some opportunity now that we have deeper water to attract deeper ships. Same with Petco and potentially, you know, agriculture products that want to use bigger ships. The deeper water makes all the difference in the world. But first and foremost, it saves our customers, our existing customers, about $150 million a year in transportation costs by being able to fully load either one class of ships or bring in a larger class of ships.
They must absolutely love you for that. So so the port, we found out today, the port of Corpus Christi is the third largest gateway for crude oil exports behind Russia and Saudi Arabia. Number three tries harder, right? You're going to be number two the next time we talk?
Absolutely.
All right. And congratulations, yeah, June 2nd, ribbon cutting, the official opening of, you know, seven, in your case, like 8 years worth of work at the Port of Corpus Christi. And Ken Brenton's the CEO. It's good to spend some time with you today. Thank you very much.
Great, great being here, David.
And it sounds like you've got job security for a while to go. So we'll be back. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.